Today I'm joined by Siobhan Burke, a coordinating committee member of Ice Free Capital District. She is also a volunteer with Troy Sanctuary Campaign, an offshoot of the Ice Free Capital District. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me on.
So, what is the Troy Sanctuary Campaign?
Well, we are an independent volunteer group in Troy. We've got several dozen active volunteers and at least a few hundred supporters, both, you know, via social media and our email list, folks that have come out to public meetings and so forth. And we do a combination of policy advocacy for sanctuary in Troy and direct aid and fundraising work to support the immigrant population in our city.
Could you go into what is some of the policy work that you've been involved in?
Sure. So we have been advocating for Troy to become a sanctuary city. One of the first steps to doing that, in our view, is to pass a sanctuary resolution affirming that the city of Troy is a sanctuary city, which just means that our local city employees, particularly law enforcement, will not do the job of federal immigration enforcement. It doesn't prevent them from enforcing the laws, of course. If there's an immigrant who is suspected of a crime, they are, of course, still empowered to pursue that investigation. But for instance, they wouldn't be empowered to ask someone about their immigration status in the course of a routine traffic stop. And of course, city employees, if they're screening people to receive other services, wouldn't be authorized to ask about their immigration status.
This has been sort of a hot topic here in Troy. I've seen the Troy Sanctuary Campaign and Ice Free Capital District out at some of the city council meetings regarding this. And as we know, it's been tabled for now. Is your group or are either of these groups doing work right now to continue to support the resolution?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, just a week ago, there was a very well-attended public meeting for residents of the East Side neighborhood in Troy, where we had almost 100 people overwhelmingly speaking in support of the resolution, although there was also an opportunity for opponents and people who are undecided to raise their concerns and ask questions. Council members Anasha Cummings and David Besember were present and answered a wide variety of questions and are continuing to follow up with residents, not just in the East Side neighborhood, but in several other neighborhoods in Troy where they have attended neighborhood meetings and fielded questions and concerns about the resolution. Our Troy Sanctuary folks would like to see this reintroduced. We think that the concerns raised by the mayor, TJ Kennedy, another Democratic council member, regarding the need for more public education and discussion have been met. We think that there has been a good faith effort to go out, engage members of the community who are concerned about the resolution and who have questions. And every time that we've attended public events on this issue, the vast majority of Troy residents in attendance have been in favor of the resolution. So we think it's time, as soon as possible, maybe not at the February meeting, but certainly by March, to get this on the agenda again and address it once and for all.
If there are community members that agree with this stance that it should be reintroduced, the resolution, is there anything that the general public can and should be doing to assist it getting back on an agenda, or is that solely up to the council itself?
Well, we would definitely encourage all Troy residents to contact their council members and speak out in favor of the resolution. And of course, we would also invite them to come to our next organizing meeting, which is going to be Tuesday the 15th at 6:30 p.m. at the Oakwood Community Center, 313 10th Street. And we're going to be discussing opportunities for organizing for this resolution, as well as some opportunities for organizing in Albany. And we'll be announcing the next meeting of our direct aid and fundraising work group as well. which is another major area of the work that we're doing right now.
The Troy Sanctuary campaign has been rather successful in fundraising and direct aid work, and I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your focus in this area.
Thank you. Most of us who are volunteers in this campaign initially came to the issue because of our concern for quality of life issues for immigrants, documented and otherwise, under the current administration, and even under the previous Obama administration. We've seen a lot of escalated enforcement actions by ICE, for example. And in Troy, that manifests in the same way that it does in much of the country, right? With immigrants being afraid to talk about their status, especially if they or someone in their family is undocumented. Immigrants are sometimes hesitant to speak out, especially to go to law enforcement. And in some cases, when a family member is targeted by ICE, they can experience really unsustainable expenses, legal expenses. Sometimes people are prevented from working legally. And so these are opportunities for the community to show some solidarity with those folks, both raising awareness about the issues that they're facing and offering a little bit of financial security. So this issue came to our attention last spring when Delilah Yeend was pulled over by the Troy police following a rolling stop through a stop sign. And when her immigration status was discovered, she was taken into custody. She was transferred to ICE, and she was put in detention in Batavia, hours away from her two children, for months. And because she was willing to take the courageous step of going public and talking to the media about her case, a lot of public attention focused on her. We were able to make contact with her and her mother and start to provide some fundraising support for their family, as well as, you know, providing moral support and political support and encouraging local politicians to advocate on her behalf. And we're happy to say that in addition to having raised several thousand dollars for her legal representation and also for, you know, just keeping a roof over the family's head and keeping them fed while she's unable to legally work, a lot of the public support that was rallied behind her was successful. And she is now off the deportation docket at ICE. She no longer has to check in monthly with them, and she's got applications pending for both a green card and a work permit. So this is an example of what can happen when the community rallies behind someone who's in a seemingly hopeless situation. And we're continuing to do that for other families in the area, for many of whom, unfortunately, were unable to speak publicly about in terms of their identities or the specifics of their circumstances, because that would make them very vulnerable to further intimidation by ICE.
But somehow, Siobhan Virk, you and the Troy Sanctuary campaign just did an amazing fundraising effort in a very short time period for another family that has to remain unnamed. How do you go about that work? And can you tell us a little bit about that story without naming names?
Yeah, absolutely. It was something that we hesitated to do initially, to create a GoFundMe online fundraiser for a family without being able to identify their story. Because so often, you know, the conventional wisdom, at least around that kind of crowdfunding, indicates that people tend to respond best to stories where, you know, you have a sympathetic individual who's able to share the details of their story and tell you exactly where every dollar raised is going to go. Those tend to be the most successful fundraisers. But unfortunately, for so many of the families that we work with, doing that kind of public-facing fundraising simply isn't possible. And so we held off at first, but then a local family in Troy was facing eviction, and we just took a Hail Mary pass at putting what little bit of their story out there that we safely could. And the generosity of the community was just incredible. Our initial goal was to raise $720 in 48 hours, which would have given them housing security for 1 month and gotten their landlords off their back. And instead, we raised more than triple that in 48 hours. And everyone that gave, you know, was happy to do so without receiving the details for that family's identity and the specifics of their case. And if we can scale that kind of community response up, I think that we could really be supporting a lot more of the undocumented population in this area and offer a model for other parts of the country to really demonstrate solidarity with the immigrant population that is being scapegoated right now by our president and targeted disproportionately by federal law enforcement.
Siobhan Burke, we're quickly running out of time. How do you get connected with people that need help? And if there are people listening to this that haven't actually found you guys, that are undocumented, how might they get in touch?
Well, anyone who needs our support or knows someone who needs our support can email icefreecd@gmail.com. or TroySanctuaryCampaign@gmail.com. We have been fortunate to form alliances with several local churches and other organizations who have made some referrals. And as awareness of our volunteer work has grown in the community, folks have been coming forward and reaching out to us on Facebook and by email.
And then lastly, obviously supporting these crowdsourcing fundraising campaigns is necessary for our community to continue to do, but is there anything else a Troy resident who cares could do if they can't just come out to a meeting?
Absolutely. We do offer other forms of support for immigrants targeted by ICE. We help with transportation, for example. We can connect families with people who can help them get to doctor's appointments and school and the grocery store and so forth for people who can't safely drive because they don't have a license or they're, you know, already targeted by ICE. And there are other forms of support, like food support, you know, anything that people have that they think could be helpful, we'd encourage them to reach out and we'll figure out a way to put that to good use.